During my last time on the program, we talked to you about the divine inspiration and preservation of the Word of God, that God inspired His Word by moving mortal men to pen down the words of God, and then He promised to preserve that Word, but not just the general teaching of the Word, but the individual words. Psalm chapter 12 and in verse 6 and 7, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them," or the words individually, "O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Psalm 33 and verse 11, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Not just the general thought of the heart, but the thoughts, the words, the individual words. So with that being the case, that God has promised to preserve his word, but we have to ask in the 21st century, in what version of the Bible is the words of God preserved? Now, there are a multitude of Bible versions that clearly say different things. And the fact of the matter is, we believe the Scriptures are the source of absolute truth here in this world. And if you have two Bibles that say different things about God's truth, then clearly both can't be right. So there is so much variation between the versions, we have to honestly evaluate what is the best version of the Bible for us to be reading in the English language, because I'm American and I'm English, so that's the language that I speak. So in the English language, what is the most authentic representation here today of the original autographs that God inspired and that he promised to preserve? And in the Primitive Baptist Church, we believe that the authorized version of the King James Bible is the best version in the English language today that accurately reflects the truth and the doctrine of the original autographs that God inspired. And the reason for that is because the King James Bible is translated from the Textus Receptus, or the traditional text of manuscripts, instead of the Westcott Hort critical text and the Alexandrian family of manuscripts. So I want us to consider that here this morning, so we can hope to see together that any version of the Bible cannot be correct. If two Bibles say different things, both can't be right. So what is the best representation of the original autographs of the Word of God for the Scriptures here today? So I hope to cover a good bit of content here this morning, but I also understand that some of this might be difficult to follow just by listening to it. So when we post our podcast on our website, we will provide a link to a PDF with all of this information in it. And I would also add that the majority of this information is going to come from a few reputable books on the King James Bible and the manuscripts. First of all, Crowned with Glory by Dr. Thomas Holland. One Book Stands Alone by Dr. Douglas Stauffer. The King James Version of 1611, The Myth of Early Revisions by Dr. David F. Reagan, New Age Bible Versions by Gail Rippler, and then quite a few articles from the Trinitarian Bible Society and KJVtoday.com. So there's a multitude of sources that this information comes from, and you can study it yourself, but I have studied it myself and attempted to summarize that in outline notes that I'll provide for you on the podcast. And again, I would encourage you to read that because there is much more content in that outline than we're going to have a chance to address today. So first of all, there are essentially two different families of manuscripts of the Scriptures. The first being what we know as the traditional text, or the majority text, or the Byzantine text, or the Syrian text. Now, what that means is there is just simply a family of manuscripts that are very similar and have been proven to come from the Byzantine or the Syrian location. And the majority of the texts that are available to us today are of this origin. And this is also the text that has traditionally been accepted by the church. That's why it's commonly known as the traditional text or the majority text. And these are not only the majority, 85 to 90% of the manuscripts. There's maybe 5,800 to 6,000 manuscripts that are in existence today, and almost 5,500, 85 to 90% of all of those texts are of the traditional Byzantine text origin. So literally 85% of all the texts we have are in in this family and they agree with each other over 95% of the time. Now, the other group of texts are obviously the minority, somewhere between 5 to 15% of all the texts that are available today. And they're a minority, but also they disagree more consistently. So we also want to note that this family of manuscripts is known as the Byzantine text or the Syrian text. And Syria was actually the hub. Antioch of Syria was the hub of the New Testament church we see in the Acts of the Apostles. So that should give us a lot of confidence that these texts are not only the majority of the texts that are out there, they agree consistently one with another, but they also come from a region in Antioch of Syria that was the center hub of the New Testament church. Now, in 1516, a man named Erasmus compiled a Greek New Testament based on the most reliable manuscripts that he had at the time, and he used exclusively the traditional or the majority of the Byzantine text. And Erasmus's compilation of the New Testament in Greek was described as being the text now received by all. So in Latin, the word for received text came to us as the textus receptus. So for all practical purposes, the Textus Receptus was compiled by Erasmus in 1516 as one compilation of all of the majority text, 85% of all the texts that were out there that agree with each other over 95% of the time, that come from the original area where the church blossomed and grew in the first century. Erasmus compiled all of those into one Greek New Testament form that came to be known as the received text or the Textus Receptus. Now, the Old Testament primarily comes from the Masoretic text that was kept by Hebrews, and there's not a lot of debate over the Masoretic text. The most debate is over the New Testament text. So, the Textus Receptus comes from the traditional majority or Byzantine text, and that Textus Receptus was used as the basis for the translation of the King James Bible. Now, the other group of manuscripts or family of manuscripts is primarily known as the Alexandrian text. So obviously, since the majority of the manuscripts are of the Byzantine origin, this is known as the minority text. Only 5, 10, or 15% of all of the manuscript, the 5 or 6,000 manuscripts that are in existence today, this is a very small minority of those manuscripts that agree consistently together of what's commonly believed to be the Alexandrian origin. Now, whereas it should give us a lot of confidence that the traditional text came from the Byzantine or the Antioch of Syria area where the church was centered. Instead, these texts are traditionally understood to have originated from Alexandria, and Alexandria is in Egypt, and if you've read your Bible at all, you know Egypt is almost exclusively condemned in the Bible. It's a strong type of sin and bondage, and even some references to Satan and the Antichrist prophecies are depicted by the nation of Egypt. So that does not give us a lot of confidence that these manuscripts have historically originated from Egypt. So that does not give us a lot of confidence that the texts that are clearly a minority text anyway, that have a lot of disagreements internally among themselves, but not only that, they originated from an area in Egypt that is not known for a Christian background, but a pagan background, and Egypt is almost exclusively condemned in the Bible. Now, in the same way that Erasmus compiled the Byzantine text into the Textus Receptus, in 1886, two men known as Westcott and Hort compiled their own Greek version of the New Testament that came to be known as the Westcott-Hort Greek text, or specifically the critical text. There were quite a few Alexandrian texts that they used, but the two primary and the two most well-known Alexandrian texts that they used are known as the Codex Vaticanus and the Codex Sinaiticus. Now, the Codex Vaticanus, obviously you see the reference to the Vatican there, that was submitted to the Vatican Library in 1481. It was on vellum, which is tanned animal skins instead of the regular papyrus, which obviously will lend to it being a lot more durable. But the Codex Vaticanus omits significant amounts of the Old and New Testament, a lot of problems in that text, and there's a reason why Erasmus didn't use it. It was available to him, but he didn't use it. Now, the other significant codex, or the other significant manuscript manuscript that Westcott and Hort used is the Codex Sinaiticus that was found in 1844 in a trash pile that was designated to be burned in St. Catherine's Monastery in the Sinai Peninsula. Now, that also dated back to the 4th century, but keep in mind that these are Byzantine monks. Byzantine monks who know the authentic Byzantine text, right? And these Byzantine monks designated in this monastery that the Codex Sinaiticus was not worth anything but just to be thrown in a trash pile and be burned up. So that tells you that Byzantine monks who are fluent in Greek and well-versed in what the authentic Byzantine manuscripts taught, that they did not deem the Codex Sinaiticus worth anything except to just be burned up. And that has significant deficiencies as well in that text. But the Codex Vaticanus and the Codex Sinaiticus were used primarily by Westcott and Hort. And just to give you a gauge of the significant deficiencies in these two codexes or manuscripts, and to a larger degree, the entire Alexandrian text that are the minority text anyway, they don't agree consistently one with another, but they are just totally inconsistent with what we believe to be the truth of the Textus Receptus, okay? Even between those two manuscripts, between the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus, those two manuscripts disagree over 3,000 times in the Gospels alone. And by the way, there's only 3,779 verses in the Gospels. So almost every single one of those verses disagree between the two primary manuscripts that were used by Westcott and Hort. Now, between the Westcott-Hort critical text and the received text, they disagree one with another over 5,300 times in the New Testament. Remember, there's only about 7,900 verses in the entire New Testament. Now, compared to the Textus Receptus, those two manuscripts omit between 4 and 5% of all the words in the Gospels. Now, remember, God inspired his individual words, right? The individual words were to be preserved, but yet those individual words are missing. They're omitted. Westcott and Hort also had very significant doctrinal problems. They did not believe in the physical second coming of the Lord. Hort did not believe in the existence of a devil. He did not believe in a literal eternal hell. They did not believe that Jesus died for the elect. And it's also well documented that Hort believed in communism as well. Westcott did not believe in the literal account of Genesis, did not believe in miracles, or that heaven was a literal place, just fraught with significant doctrinal problems. And when you read the Bibles that are translated from the critical text, it's very evident that the verses that are affected clearly align with these false teachings and heretical beliefs that Westcott and Hort had. So to summarize all of this, you have the majority text that is represented in the received text or the Textus Receptus, and you have the Alexandrian text that are represented in the Westcott-Hort critical text, and essentially every current modern Bible, the NASB, the NIV, the ESV, are all primarily translated from the Westcott-Hort critical text. Now, the Westcott-Hort critical text will normally say that this is more reliable because these are based on older manuscripts. Now, it's true that these are, the Codex Sinaiticus and Vaticanus are older manuscripts. They date back to the 4th century, and most of the current Byzantine texts that we have today only date back to the 6th or the 7th century. Now, part of that is due to them being on vellum, which is going to hold the test of time a lot better than papyrus and paper. So that's part of the reason why those texts are older. But older doesn't always mean better. They were on a better source to preserve them over a longer period of time, but also something that's just put on a bookshelf and not used is not going to have any deterioration and can last a long time. But papyrus that is used actively by the church is going to deteriorate. So just because the texts are older and date back to the 4th century, where the Byzantine manuscripts may not date back but to the 10th century, older does not always mean better. And we believe that the Textus Receptus is the best version of the Bible, and that is the basis of the King James translation. And regardless of what you think about that, you cannot accept that the Textus Receptus and the critical text are both acceptable. One is right and one is wrong. There are too many inconsistencies for anyone to say it doesn't matter which one you read. It does matter which one you read, and you just need to evaluate the evidence and determine and which one is appropriate. And we believe the evidence supports the majority text that came from the Byzantine area around Antioch that is consistent among itself, does not undermine significant Bible doctrinal truth, as opposed to the critical text that is the minority text that comes from Egypt, that there are significant problems in the main two codices. One of them was designated by Byzantine monks to not be worth anything but to be burned by fire, and that severely undermines many essential Christian truths in those versions of the Bible. We believe that the Textus Receptus is by far the most accurate Greek New Testament compilation of the original autographs, and that the critical text is severely compromised and does not represent the Word of God. So now I want to tell you why I believe that the King James Version is just simply better. It's superior. In 1604, King James commissioned 54 men who were the best Greek and Hebrew scholars living at the time, a group of men that their knowledge of the original language in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic would be absolutely impossible to have a group of people that had the same intellect of those original languages here today. The translators split into six different groups, and each of them evaluated a specific portion of Scripture, and then it went to the next group. So every single group looked at all the portions of the Word, and it took them 7 years of vetting and scrutiny and intense study for them to settle on the King James translation of the Bible. And again, the understanding of the original languages and the intelligence of this group of men that I believe were used by the Lord to produce the absolute best version of the Bible that the English language has seen even up to this day, their level of skill and understanding would be impossible to replicate today. So the scholarship of the translators is absolutely unmatched in the 1611 King James translation. The translators were also very honest in their integrity of the translation. If there was a Greek word that did not have a direct equivalent in English, they would transliterate that, such as baptism. In other words, if there was a supplied word that was necessary to make it a complete sentence in English that was not in the original text, they put those in italics so we would understand that. And many other occasions as well where they did an absolute phenomenal job of representing the original autographs and conveying any adjustments that they had to make it a complete sentence in English in their translation. Now, part of the difficulty that some people have today with the King James translation is what appears to be the outdated language. Words that end in EST and ETH, the yees and the these and the thous and the these. Well, actually, even though that is not the way that we speak in 21st century America today, this language is actually more precise than the language we use today. For example, in America, for second person pronouns, we will say you, whether we're talking to multiple people or one person. So essentially, we have one word for both singular and plural second person pronouns. But the King James Bible gives you that precision. And if it says you or ye, that is speaking to a broad group, speaking to plural people. But if the Bible says thee or thou or thy, that means that that person is speaking to one person individually. And that's very important to understand the context, especially during Jesus's ministry. Who's he talking to? Is he talking to the group at large where he would say you, which is a second person plural pronoun? Or is he speaking individually to one person where he would say thee, which is a second person singular pronoun? Now, if we would say that in America, we would just say you, and I don't know if I'm talking to one person or if I'm talking to plural people. All the ESTs and the ETHs, an EST is simply a second person noun that has a corresponding verb, and an ETH is going to be a third person noun that has a corresponding verb. So even though the language appears to be a little bit different than what we commonly use today, it's actually more precise for you to understand who exactly the speaker is speaking to, especially as he's talking in a broad sense. And that's very important in understanding who Jesus is talking to in his ministry. Now, the next point is the King James Bible is actually easier to read than all the rest of the Bibles. Now, Now, the language appears to be a little bit different to us because we use a little bit different lexicon. We use words differently today, but that does not mean that it's difficult to read. It's just different. The Flesch Kincaid grade level indicator is a readability test that determines how difficult a passage is to read in English. And the King James Bible scored a 5.8 grade reading level, and the New Testament of the KJV is only a 4.3. The NIV scored an 8.4, NASB 6.1, New King James 6.9. So the majority of the Bible reads on a 5th grade reading level, but 95% of the books read on a 7th grade reading level. So anyone that has a 7th grade education can clearly understand everything in the Bible. Another readability test that was done by Proscribe said that the King James Bible reads on about the 7th grade reading level. And oh, by the way, by comparison, People Magazine reads on an 8th grade reading level and USA Today on a 9th grade reading level. So anyone that can read People Magazine or USA Today can easily read and understand the King James Bible. So, to try to summarize our stance in the Primitive Baptist Church for the use of the King James Bible, we believe that the Textus Receptus and the majority texts that represent over 85% of the manuscripts that are in existence today that come from the Antioch of Syria region from the original church that agree consistently one with another, all of those texts that are represented in the Textus Receptus is a more accurate representation of the Word of God than the Alexandrian texts that come from Egypt that were corrupted by Westcott and Hort and were based upon minority texts that disagree one with another consistently and are just wholly unreliable. So we believe the Textus Receptus that the King James translation of the Bible is translated from is a better representation of the original autographs than the Westcott and Hort critical text. That even though some of those manuscripts may be older from the critical text, they're unreliable, inconsistent, and I would agree with those Byzantine monks, not worth anything but just to be burned up. Now, I hope that you can evaluate the information we're presenting this morning and determine for yourself what the most accurate representation of the Word of God is. But the fact of the matter is, you cannot evaluate this information and decide it doesn't matter what Bible you read. One is right and one is clearly wrong. And we believe the one that is right is the Textus Receptus, and the King James Bible represents the Textus Receptus and the truth of God's Word. And we also mentioned that the translators, their understanding of the Greek and the Hebrew language and their scholarship is unable to be matched today. They had a great amount of integrity in the way that they translated it. They weren't trying to make things simple. They were trying to accurately translate the original text. And even though some of the language might appear to be outdated to us, it's actually more precise. The these and the thous and the ESTs and the ETHs give us a precision of the language that is dumbed down in 21st century American language that is preserved in the King James Version of the Bible. Even though some of the words in the Bible are different than what we commonly use, essentially anyone with a 7th grade education can understand every single thing in the Bible. And not only that, it's also written in the language of the common man, and it's written in a very unique cadence and style that lends itself to memorization. When you hear something that's read from the Bible, it has a specific cadence because of the King James language that makes it different than everything else we hear in our normal culture. And that unique cadence also helps in memorizing the Word of God as well. So taking all of that into consideration, we simply believe in the Primitive Baptist Church that the Textus Receptus that represents the traditional and the majority text is by far the most pure and accurate representation of the Word of God, and the King James translation that is translated from the Textus Receptus is the most accurate translation that we have currently today in the English language of the original scriptures that were inspired and preserved by the Lord. We would encourage you to study this for yourself, and we hope that after your study, you will be burdened to go buy a King James Bible that we believe is the best representation of the Word of God in the English language here today. As Paul said in the New Testament to Timothy, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." May God bless you.